pray for you. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you for Neil. We thank you for his ministry, his knowledge of the scriptures and his teaching. We're really so grateful, Lord, for that. And so we ask you to use him now to minister to us. Prepare our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Good morning. Trust you are well. So nice to see you out and about and joining us this morning. So, quite interesting. You'll see in a couple of my slides how there's been a nice dovetailing of ideas and thoughts this morning, unbeknown to those who have shared them. So, with that, trusting that God is leading us and directing us. So we can put the slides up there, please. So I want to, in a way, we're going to end our series, Faith in the Fire, today. So I've entitled today's message, A Friend in Troubled Times. And I think for most of us, we would agree that times right now are a little bit troubling. There's all kinds of things happening in the world, and we've gone through a whole bunch of stuff. But at the same time, God is gracious, God is faithful, and He has carried us through so far, and He's promised to lead us through to the end. So, does this remind you of something that Harvey said earlier on this morning? God is with us in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus came and was with them, and despite them being in this fiery furnace that killed the gods, not a hair of their hair was singed. That when they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. Can you imagine that? Hey? You have a braai and you don't smell like smoke. It doesn't happen. But in this case, it happened. And then Edgar said something like this. That Jesus calms the storm. You know, as Christians, we often are, we're sort of encouraged with these words, you know, if you're in the fire, God will be with you. The circumstances might not change, but God will carry you through. But we also see that sometimes God does change the circumstances. So in the story that Edgar shared, Jesus is in the boat. The storm comes, threatening to sink them. And the disciples cry out. And what does Jesus do? He doesn't say, oh, no, 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 you've got to ride the storm out. He calms the storm. So sometimes He calms the storm. We know in Psalm 23, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, nowhere does God say stay in the valley. Walk through, keep on going. So God works in different ways, in different situations, and we need wisdom to know which way it is, or faith, probably more so. But in all of these situations, God was with those guys who were going through difficult times. And the same is true today. But today for us as Christians, we have a different friend. And this is where I want to go this morning. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today. Now just mentioning this might make you uncomfortable. If you are not from a Pentecostal background, it might create all kinds of pictures of people doing some weird stuff. I was born again into the Assemblies of God Church, and I can tell you, I've seen some weird stuff. We're not going to do that today, okay? So take a deep breath. It's okay, it's okay. Man, if you ever want to hear some of my stories of what I've experienced, I'll tell you later. It was weird. But there have also been times where I've seen God move absolutely miraculously, and lives transformed and changed by God's Spirit moving in and through people. So, in order for us to live a victorious life in this world, and when I say victorious, I mean conquering and overcoming sin and the challenges that life brings, as well as being the light of the world, we need the Holy Spirit's help. So, this is going to be a basic teaching, and then we're going to do a little bit of application. So, who is the Holy Spirit? That would be the first sort of question that we want to talk about. Who is He? First and foremost, the Holy Spirit is not just a source of power. The Holy Spirit is a person. That's very important. You know, some other religions talk of the Holy Spirit as this power. That he's a person. He has a personality. He can be grieved. The Holy Spirit, as we read in Scripture, is Jesus refers to him as the advocate or the counselor. There's a personable aspect to the Holy Spirit because he is a person. He teaches. He intercedes. You know, a power can't do that. So that's very important for us to understand. He is a person. But more than that, he is divine. The Holy Spirit is God. So we read in Acts chapter 5, this crazy story of Ananias and Sapphira. Have you heard of Ananias and Sapphira? They were not the guys you want to emulate. So they sold land and brought a portion of the money to the church, which is like a good thing, but they lied. They said, "Oh, we're actually giving you everything." And God reveals this to Peter, and Peter says, "How could you have done this? How could you have lied to the Holy Spirit?" And then in verse 5, he says, "You know, because of this, you have lied to God." The Holy Spirit is God. He is divine. And then, important to know, is he is distinct. So he's God, and this is where the whole aspect of the Trinity comes in. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The three are one. The one are three. It is a mystery how to fully understand it. But the Holy Spirit is a distinct aspect or person of the Godhead. So Matthew 28, we know that verse quite well. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The last verse in 2 Corinthians speaks about, you know, the benediction. The love of God. The something of Jesus. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Sorry, I've gone blank with the last verse of 2 Corinthians. And then when you look at the baptism of Jesus, what happens? Jesus is there in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit comes down and anoints him. And then the Father speaks. "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit is a person. He's divine. And he is distinct. And everybody says, "Amen." Okay. Okay. It's in the Bible. So we should say it's fine. Okay. Now, important is that he has been sent to us. This is where it gets so amazing and wonderful when we understand this and embrace this. The Holy Spirit, God, has been given to us to help us in this life. So we read there in John chapter 16 verse 7, it says, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He says, "It is for your good that I am going away." Jesus had to leave. He had to ascend to the Father, because unless I go away, the Advocate, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So Jesus, because being God incarnate, was limited by time and space. He could only be at one place, one time. He had to ascend to heaven so that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, could come and be with every believer all the time. That's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Is that being God, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, all-powerful, he's omniscient, he knows all things, and he is with us and in us as born-again believers. That is an amazing blessing. If you think about it, it is a little bit earth-shattering that God, who created the universe, has chosen to reside in us. Think about it. So why is that the case? The Holy Spirit, the Greek word for the Holy Spirit in this is the Parakletos. He's the one who's called aside, alongside, to help. That's his role as God in us and with us, is to help us, a friend in troubled times. He has been given to the church, to believers, to help us in our life. Now, if you want to read a bit about the workings of the Holy Spirit and how he operates, the book of Acts is the book to read. Because that really is about the Holy Spirit operating to establish the church, to send and empower people, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. The book of Acts is amazing. So, how does the Holy Spirit help us? Firstly, He helps to save us. He helps to save us. So, John chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." So because of the sin of Adam and Eve, we are dead in our spirits. And it is God's Spirit, when we take a step of faith and believe in the sacrifice of Jesus, God's Spirit comes and makes us spiritually alive again. I don't know if you had this experience, but I, as a young person, I read my Bible and prayed most days. I thought I was a good Christian until I realized that I actually wasn't. I was just religious. And then when I committed my life to Jesus and God's Spirit came into my life, I started to read the Bible and it began to make sense. Did you, anyone experience that? You're like, wow, okay, now I actually understand what this is all about. Before you're just reading stuff, God's Spirit comes and saves us and helps us to grow. In John chapter 16, we can read verse 8. It says, yeah, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. How do you know you need a Savior? Most people who are out in the world doing their thing think they're okay. You need God's Spirit to come and bring a revelation of, wow, I'm actually wicked. I'm actually a sinner. And I need help. That's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. He brings us to the cross and points us to Jesus. He plays an integral role in the salvation of people. I read this saying, I think it puts it quite well. It says, our salvation is in Christ alone, but our salvation is by His Spirit alone. Can I say that again? Our salvation is in Christ alone. It's only Jesus who can save us. He's the one who died on the cross, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But our salvation, how it materializes, is by God's Spirit alone. God's Spirit anoints the Word, and then we accept it, we receive it by faith, and a transformation takes place in us. Praise God for that, eh? Okay, so how else does the Holy Spirit help us? He helps us by sanctifying us. Now that's a real Christian word, eh? He sanctifies us, so He changes us, He causes us to become holy. And we know that this is a process. So when you are born again, your sins are washed away, but man, you still sin. And you still make mistakes. But as you grow in faith, those should become less and less. And good decisions, living for God, not for yourself, should become more and more. So I love this verse in Galatians chapter 5, from verse 16. How do you overcome sin? Have you ever thought of that? Man, the stupid sin stuff. I keep on doing things and thinking things and saying things I shouldn't. How do you overcome it? Well, Galatians 5 verse 16 makes it quite clear. Ephesians. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Simple, eh? Live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then we know in verse 22 it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the character of Christ that is formed in us as we surrender to God, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, and now live by the power and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. Everybody okay with that? You don't sound too convinced. Okay, so he helps, he saves us, he sanctifies us, he causes us to be changed, as Scripture says, from glory to glory, more and more like Jesus, as we allow him to work in and through us. And then he reveals. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of truth. John 14, verse 26, says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So that happens in life. We're trying to, what is the best course of action? What is it that we should be doing right now? And suddenly a verse pops into your mind. Or something that you've read somewhere that is truth comes to you. Ah, okay, now I understand. If I go down this road, I'm actually not going to honor God. But if I do this, I am. John 16, verse 13 says this, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." So the Holy Spirit brings revelation. Let me tell you a story where this was so profound for me. Years ago, I was in Cape Town. I was staying in someone's house. And about a month before, the place where I was staying had been broken into. And they took a few things, but thankfully not too much. And about a month later, after church on a Sunday night, I was driving home, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, "They're back." And as I got home, having heard this, I was a bit more cautious than normal and didn't just barge into the house. And as I opened the front door, the guys were in the living room. And thankfully, got a fright and they ran away. But it was like, on going home, it was like the Holy Spirit just warning me, they're there, they're back. Be careful. And God was able to just protect us in that. They took everything. I had the only clothes I had left were the ones I was wearing that night. So the benefit of insurance is I was able to get a new wardrobe after that. So the Holy Spirit reveals. He reveals truth. He reveals what is yet to come. He's there to guide us and lead us. And then this is probably, in living a victorious life, one of the most important points. He empowers. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live this God-honoring, victorious life. I'm sure you'll agree with me, to live a God-honoring life is not easy. In fact, it's impossible, because we are inherently sinful. But look what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesian church that was a church under massive pressure. They were in a society that was really persecuting them. And Paul says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." God can give us strength and power in our inner being. And it carries on and says this, "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." We need that power to enable and allow Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith. Acts 1 verse 8, we know that verse well, that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why? So that you may be my witnesses. If you carry on a few chapters further on in Acts chapter 4, verse 30, 31, it speaks about the Holy Spirit coming upon the believers and they began to speak the word of God boldly. If you're a little bit like me, going and speaking to strangers about Jesus is intimidating. It's scary. But we need to share the truth. We need to stand for God and for what God stands for. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power, the boldness to live for Jesus and to share Jesus. We're not in this alone. Isn't that a wonderful thing about how God has orchestrated life? Jesus didn't leave us as orphans. He didn't just say, "Hey, cheers guys, I've done my bit. I'll see you later. I'll see you in heaven one day." He's given us someone the Holy Spirit to help us. And then He guides. The Holy Spirit guides. I think I've read this one already, where it says that when He comes, He will guide us into all truth. It says in Romans that those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. He guides us. And I think that's a beautiful thing because, you know, the Bible gives us clear indications as to God's sovereign will, His overall will. But it doesn't really talk about, you know, what business you should be working for, what car you should drive. You know, those everyday decisions we need to make, there's overarching principles of being good stewards and not trusting in the things of this world. But the Holy Spirit guides us with those everyday decisions. We can go and ask Him, Lord, I have a decision to make. What do you want me to do? What is the right decision in this situation? So our daughter, Kristen, who's doing something over there, is going to high school next year. So we were praying, Lord, where do we send Kristen to high school? Give us some direction. Give us wisdom. We don't want to just make an uninformed choice. We want to know what is right for her because, God, you're in the future. You already know. So He guides us. And then the final one is He gives us assurance and hope. So that's not an exhaustive list of what the Holy Spirit does and how He helps us. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. I've said this one already. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. We have an assurance of salvation. In Ephesians it speaks about that the Holy Spirit is our deposit, our inheritance, for our inheritance eternally. So, for a lot of people, you ask them the question, so how do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're a Christian? And if someone had to ask me that question, my answer would be, I just know. I just know. The Spirit in me cries out, Abba Father, I am a child of God. And then one of my favorite verses just about the assurance of being a child of God, but also of hope, is Romans 15 verse 13 that says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In a dark time, when we are in this dark world, how do we maintain hope? How do we maintain peace? How do we continue to have joy? It's because of God's Spirit in us that reminds us that God is in control and that things will work out fine in the end. We have our hope, and our hope is in God, anointed and put upon us by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's a lot of info. You guys still with me? You need to take a deep breath? Is it okay? Okay, so how do we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Now, this is where maybe you're going to get seriously nervous, because we can lay hands on you and throw oil on you and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to do that this morning. So Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit. So when you choose to follow Jesus and you are born again, God's Spirit comes and lives in you, right? Okay. My belief, and the belief of many, is that there is a subsequent encounter with the Holy Spirit, and that's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the Acts chapter 2 situation. So the first part is the Holy Spirit coming in you to make you alive spiritually. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is God coming upon you, filling you, overflowing, so that you can be a witness, so that you can live this victorious life. So how do we receive this? And the answer is simply ask. Ask, God, I actually need your help. Holy Spirit, you're the friend that's called alongside to help me. Please come into my life. It's as simple as that. So Luke 11, let me read from verse 9. It says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Okay, you got that? Now look how Luke links it. "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" How much more? God wants to empower us, bless us, equip us, and help us so that we can live lives that honor Him. That is so crucial to living this victorious life. How do we rise above society? You know, the problem with the church today, in a big way, is that there is no difference in lifestyle between many who profess Jesus and those who stand against Jesus. The divorce rate is the same. The this rate is the same. There's so many similarities. We rise above by being different because we surrender to the will of God, not to the will of man. Amen? That's so difficult. Because our selfish nature wants to preserve itself. It wants to do things that are comfortable and that are nice and that are pleasing and self-satisfying. But Jesus says, you know what? In this world you will have trouble. So, deal with it. You know, if I'm persecuted, you'll be persecuted. God has given us His Spirit to help us to stand for truth and to rise above the circumstances that we find. Now, the thing with the Holy Spirit that maybe makes it difficult to fully understand is that He doesn't get that much attention, right? Most sermons are about Jesus, speak about the Father. The Holy Spirit is like the silent partner of a business. He's got an integral, important role to play, but the CEO and the general manager get the attention. The role of God's Spirit is actually, one of His key roles, we read it earlier, is to reveal Jesus to people. The Holy Spirit always defers to Jesus, always points people to Jesus, doesn't point people to Himself. Now, that could mean a number of things. We could say, well, the Holy Spirit is actually not that important. No, the Holy Spirit is critical because He is the third person of the Trinity. His role is just more behind the scenes as He works out the will of God, pointing people to Jesus, the Savior. Okay, so this is how I'd like us to close. We'll close with this statement. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us to live a holy life and to boldly share the gospel and to fulfill our calling. So I don't want to make you feel too uncomfortable today. So we're not going to do anything crazy. But we're going to play a song now called Fresh Wind that speaks about the Holy Spirit. And then once that song is finished, there at your table, in your own moment with God, just spend a moment saying, God, I actually need You. Holy Spirit, I need You. Come and help me. Maybe there's a particular situation. Maybe there's a particular aspect of what we've spoken about that you're like, wow, I need help in this. There we go. Maybe in one of those items. I need guidance. Lord, I need to have strength. I need to be empowered. Can You help me? Can we do that? Okay, don't be so nervous. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He doesn't do anything crazy without your permission. So if you do start doing crazy stuff, it's your fault. Okay, so can we stand and let's sing the song? The words of the song are powerful. They really are words of a hungry heart wanting to be filled. And that's what I trust you feeling right now. God, I need more of You in my life. I need to live a life that really lives and declares that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And then once we've finished singing the song, just spend a moment you and God, asking, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? You ask, but the other aspect of receiving the Holy Spirit is like a gift. You receive. So if I want to give Liam a gift, it was his birthday the other day, so if I want to give him a gift, he's got a choice. He can either say no thanks, or he can take it. Holy Spirit, please come and help me. I receive you right now because I know that you are my helper. Does that make sense? Okay, cool. Nathan, take it away.
We pray as we repent.
just with your eyes closed, with your hearts uplifted to heaven. This is a holy moment. This is a life-changing moment where God wants to come and empower you and change you and help you and bless you. All you need to do is ask. So just now, between you and God, just speak to Him. In your situation, in your life, say, God, here I am. Fill me. Change me, Lord.